153 Great Podcasts presents Receive Ye the Holy Ghost, Spirit Baptism, an ebook by Dwight J. Davis. Preparation to receive the Holy Spirit. God refuses to occupy a dirty house. The believer must prepare to receive the Holy Spirit. Give it some thought. Number one, would you want to live in a house with empty beer cans and cigarettes lying on the floor? Number two, would you want to live in a house with pornography photos and pictures hanging on every wall? Number three, would you want to live in a house where there is angry fighting, hate, and accusations raging every day? Number four, would you want to live in a house where the adults are committing adultery in secret? Number five, would you want to live in a house where the money deity is worshipped supreme? Number six, would you want to live in a house where the lazy head of the household refuses to get a job? After thinking about these questions and more could be asked, it is clear that something needs to change. The Bible word for this is repentance. Here is my definition of repentance. Number one, repentance is consistent from the Old Testament to the New. It's the same. Its first definition is remorse, apology, regret for past actions and current lifestyle that disagree with God's moral law. Number two, repentance is an apology, first to God, then others we have transgressed against. Number three, repentance is a decision to turn around, a 180 degree turn from the old lifestyle of sin and sin enticing friends. Number four, repentance is a desire to change, a wish to be a better person, a surrendering of the human free will to God's control. Number five, repentance is a process. It may have been churning for a long time, or it may be done in an instant. Remorse is human sorrow, but the Bible tells us that by itself it cannot cleanse the conscience or transform the heart. Remorse is regret and emotion when one has been exposed or caught in sin. Only the Spirit of God can accomplish cleansing of the conscience, as remorse alone cannot do it. So we are left with a remarkable quandary. We are dependent on Jesus. God must grant repentance and cleanse our conscience. Repentance is not complete or effectual until God grants it. The Bible is clear about this. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance to life." When God grants repentance, he does this by a move of his Spirit into the open heart of the inner man. This transformative move is called godly sorrow. Until God grants godly sorrow, a person's repentance is not complete or effectual. One confusion people have when this happens is that relief floods the soul. The conscience feels cleansed. This can be easily mistaken for salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance toward salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world, remorse by itself, works death. When the Bible recounts the story of Esau, it mentions that God did not grant repentance to him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 through 17. If there be any fornication or profane person like Esau, who for one helping of venison stew sold his birthright, for you know how that afterwards, when he wanted Jacob's birthright blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears, remorse. It wasn't Esau's past sins that prevented God from granting him repentance. It was the fact that he was unwilling to surrender his will, even though he confessed his trespasses with remorse. Difficulty in receiving the Holy Spirit is from four primary reasons. Number one, unwillingness to surrender the human will and tongue to God's control. Number two, lack of faith. Number three, misunderstanding of what faith is. Number four, refusal to speak audibly. What is faith and how to get more of it? Faith exists in humans in terms of being convinced mentally about what is true. Faith in the Word of God is to be so convinced of its truthfulness that it should be obeyed. Some say faith requires a risk, but it has become clear to me that faith rests in the logical mind of man. It's a rational decision to act on God's word. The timing to act is the lone variable. People are born with faith. Everyone has it. But here I am talking about human faith. Unfortunately for us, human faith is always a mixture of doubt and truth. That is why people call faith taking a risk. This risk considers that something might not be true. Divine faith is different than human faith. Divine faith never considers doubt. God never says to himself, I am taking a risk on my own word. But God so respects the human free will that he gave us that he never forces us to believe or act as he would. It always requires a decision from us one way or another. Therefore, faith is a decision that must fight doubt. Doubt arrives from knowing good and evil. To humans, our mind always has access to evil, the polluted word that came into our world from the forbidden tree. When it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit, doubt must be pushed aside and taken into captivity. When an anointed minister comes to pray with a person seeking the Holy Spirit, Jesus transmits a word of faith to the heart of the seeker. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the word of God, that the human praying must speak by faith. Some fail to speak the word because they are expecting a feeling. Some expect fire to come on them, a heat and burning sensation. Some expect tingles and chills to run up and down their spine. Some expect a windy vortex to surround them. If any of these things do occur, this is a blessing Jesus gives to help the faith of the seeker to speak. But regardless of whether a seeker feels anything or not, speaking out in faith is required. Many do not receive the Holy Spirit because they pray silently in their minds. Silent mind prayer is actually called meditation in the Bible. Audible speech is required. Some do not receive the Holy Spirit because they are afraid the tongues that emerge will be unintelligible or of human composition. Fear of a false tongue is another reason people will not speak out. Finally, some do not receive the Holy Spirit because they insist on being in control. The best way to retain control is to speak in your native language and praise Jesus. Many times I have had to stop people and say, Jesus knows you love him. Jesus knows you like to praise him. But right now, Jesus wants you to stop using your native language and speak the words he gives you. Other times I have had to stop a seeker and say, you are expecting a feeling. The word feeling is not found in the Bible when people receive the Holy Spirit. Get with it and speak. What many people do not understand is that Jesus imparts his faith to our human spirit, and then that word of faith must travel to our mouth and be spoken. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does the Old Testament say? Deuteronomy 30:14. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith to be obeyed, which we preach. In another place, the Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then Jesus told his disciples that his words were in fact spirit. John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. They are life. When an anointed minister lays hands on the Holy Spirit seeker, Jesus imparts the priestly blessing to the seeker. His words, being spirit, transmit to the seeker's heart, then rise to the center of faith. That center is where the seeker decides to speak what he or she cannot generate of control. Many times I have had to challenge a seeker with these words. Speak by faith. Don't analyze and try to discern what will come out. Just speak and don't worry about how it sounds. If after that encouragement nothing happens for the seeker, I know that the problem is either sin or faith. Focusing on faith, there are only two ways to get more faith. Number one, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Number two, faith comes by reconciling with our brothers and neighbors. Almost every Christian should want more faith. Seekers and new believers especially, many seekers of the Holy Ghost must be filled up with preaching, teaching, and Bible reading before they begin to believe that God loves them unconditionally. Further, that receiving the Holy Spirit is not merit-based, but faith-based. No human deserves the Holy Spirit, and no one person has more status with Jesus than another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." When seekers do not believe that God loves them, fear is fighting them. One fear is that they have sinned too badly. Here is an example. One time, a young woman came to the altar for prayer, where I was helping. I asked her, "Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit?" She responded sadly, "I can't receive the Holy Spirit." I asked, "Why not?" "There is no sin that he won't forgive." She said, "I blasphemed the Holy Ghost." I replied, "What? How did you do that?" She answered, "I said that speaking in tongues is of the devil." Smiling at her answer, I said, "Nonsense. Raise your hands and start praising Jesus. Tell him you are sorry." She obeyed the word I gave her. Soon she was speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave her the ability to do so. As said above, faith first increases by hearing the word of God. Here is the scriptural proof. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Galatians 3, verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Secondly, faith also increases when we reconcile our differences and offenses both inside and outside the church body. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. Be careful yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, confront him. And if he repents, forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto the sycamore tree, 'Come out by the root and be buried in the sea,' and it would obey you." In this critical passage above, a mustard seed is sent to the believer who obeyed and reconciled the offense. To reconcile means to confront the person who has offended us and rehearse the offense audibly. If the offender repents, forgive them quickly. If the offender does not repent, then the person who confronts the offender will be delivered from all unresolved anger and roots of bitterness. When our anger and bitterness is resolved, we have purified our heart from unbelief. This allows the mustard seed, word of faith, to enter our heart, travel to our mouth, and yield healing, miracles, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Purifying the heart of unbelief is critical, as unbelief and doubt is often a symptom of unforgiveness, a mortal sin. If we don't forgive others, especially ourselves, we will not be forgiven by Jesus. To summarize, if we want more faith, then we must hear more word. Going further, if we want more faith than that, then we must reconcile with everyone. To perfect faith, we must hear the word of faith more clearly from the author of faith. Then we must purify our heart of doubt and unbelief. If we do so, the mustard seed, word of faith, will come to us. You have been listening to Receive Ye the Holy Ghost, Spirit Baptism, a 153 Great Podcast presentation.